Welcome to Slice Your Asian Half. I am Dr. David Matto, and this is the show where we help you live better, stronger, thinner, and happier. Welcome back. This is episode number 8, and I've got to tell you something. It's so great to be back with every single one of you. As you know, as I say on many of my podcasts here, I'm just so happy and honored to be able to help you, my listener, live a better life, a healthier life, feel better and stronger and younger and look better than you ever have in your entire life. And it's a pleasure. I love doing this. And this is only my 8th episode. I'm glad you're with me early on. I mean, I hope you'll still be with me when I'm doing my 108th episode, because I've got a lot to teach you. And We got a long way to go, but it's every episode we learn just a little bit more about each other. And my goal is to get you living the best life ever, and let's do it. Today in episode 8, I have a lot of great stuff for you. First of all, we'll start off today with a couple of really good listener questions. Two of you posted some great questions on Facebook that I want to get to right away. One of them is actually about drinking, how much water we should drink every day. And the other question deals with the holidays coming up and how we can make sure we get back on track eating and not overdoing it, not overindulging during the holidays. And I've got some great little tips for you right there, because one thing you don't want to do is let the holidays get the better part of you and come out. Starting with Thanksgiving, we're going to be getting into Christmas and New Year's, and you certainly don't want to get on the scale after the holidays and notice that that needle or that digital number is just a little bit more than you wanted, a little bit more than before the holidays, or maybe even a lot more. You don't want to see that happen. So I've got some great ideas for you there. Then we're going to actually get into talking a little bit about money and stress. Because as you know, this is a lifestyle program, Slice Your Asian Half. My goal is to get you looking better, feeling younger. And stress takes a tremendous toll on our bodies, both mentally and physically, actually, believe it or not. And money does stress us out if we're not handling it right. And again, it can really, really wreak havoc on your body by causing stress, and stress causes illnesses. So I'm going to help you with a little bit of that. Just get your, especially again, since we're getting into the holiday season, you just don't want to overdo certain things. And I feel pretty confident that I can make sure we're on the right track financially. And then we'll talk a little bit about relationships, marriages, friendships, things like that. Because again, if there's stress in your relationships, that stress is a really powerful, it takes a bad toll on you in a big way. So we want to eliminate stress. Probably we can never eliminate stress, but we want to minimize it as much as possible. And I'll be able to help you with that. And we've got somebody actually coming in a little bit later into the studio during this program today that's going to give an amazing scream. Now, this is a scream unlike anything we've ever heard, because this gentleman is in the process of accomplishing something that most people in their lives never will. But you can use him as an example and possibly do what he's doing. If not, you can come close, or maybe even if you don't come close, you can do something like it that's very cool. So great scream coming up in a little while. So again, thanks so much for being with me here on episode 8. It's going to be a great one. So let's get right into it with a couple of questions from our listeners. And by the way, before we actually get into the questions, if you have a question at all that you'd like me to answer on this program, Slice Your Asian Half, the best ways to reach me are, number one, on Facebook, David Matto on Facebook. It's very simple. You just join me on my page. It's actually my personal profile page still, David Matto on Facebook. Hang with me there. Ask me any questions you want. Sometimes I answer them right on Facebook. Sometimes I'll actually save them for the podcast here. Also, you can send me an email at rundrdave@gmail.com. Or rundrdave is RUNDRDAVE, rundrdave@gmail.com. I'll answer questions there. And hang with me on Twitter. I love Twitter, and I tweet. Sometimes I go in stage. Sometimes I go in like little tweet What's the word I'm looking for? I end up tweeting a lot sometimes for a few days in a row. Then I leave it alone for a while. I guess you can call it like tweet rampages, rampages, I guess. I don't know, whatever. But you can reach me on Twitter also. I'm simply David Maddow, DavidMaddow on Twitter. Any way you reach me, hang with me. Let's have some fun. We can learn from each other, and you can ask me any questions you like, and I will make sure I get them answered. So the first question today comes from Laurie Strickler Edmonds. It's actually a much longer name than that. It's on Facebook, and I don't know, Laurie, if you go by your entire name here, but on Facebook, your name is Laurie Strickler Cropman Edmonds. However you call yourself, Laurie, thanks for the question. The question actually is, are 8 8-ounce glasses of fluid a day the same as 8 8-ounce glasses of water? And is this old guideline still valid? Well, Laurie, great question there. 8 ounce glasses of fluid. Let's back up for a second. Fluid, the strict definition of fluid is anything that flows. So, fluid could be anything from any kind of a liquid to any type of gas, because liquids and gases all flow. So, they're not the same. 8 8-ounce glasses of fluid. Let's face it. Fluid could be alcohol. You could be drinking alcohol. That's fluid. And so if you're sticking to the principle, I need 8 8-ounce glasses of fluid a day, who knows what you could be drinking? Alcohol, chocolate milk, Coke. So it's not the same. So let's talk about what you should be drinking and then how much. As I've said in previous programs, the best drink on this planet, the healthiest drink on this planet is water. God put beautiful, healthy, clean water on the planet for a reason, for us to drink, for us and all the other animals and whatever is out there to nourish plants. Water is the most nutritious liquid on this planet for us to drink. So, yeah, we should be drinking water. We should not be drinking Coke, Pepsi, sweetened juices. I mean, all that junk that's out there. Alcohol, I'm not going to tell you not to drink alcohol, but if we drink alcohol, let's keep it to a minimum, because I've got to tell you, it's not healthy. And again, I don't care what the studies show and what the physicians tell you that, drink several glasses of red wine per day and it's very healthy. I just don't buy it. I don't think alcohol is a health drink in any way, shape, or form. If you want to enjoy a little bit here and there, I'm not going to tell you not to. But just don't drink wine or anything like that, red wine, thinking that it's going to make you healthier, because I'll tell you right now, it's not. It's not going to make you healthier. So, Laurie, good question. Now, the second part of your question is this old guideline of drinking 8 8-ounce glasses of water per day. Is it still valid? My answer is I'm not sure. I just don't know. Like I said in many of my previous programs here, I'm not one that counts things. I don't count calories. I don't count grams of carbs or anything. I'm not a counter. I eat, I do count the number of meals I eat, basically, and that's not even so strict. I mean, I eat 6 meals per day, 6 small meals per day, but I don't count the calories in them, and I'm not really counting the number of ounces or milliliters or liters of water I'm drinking per day. I just don't do it. I drink when I'm thirsty. I try to keep fresh bottle or glass of water near me at all times. And if I'm, feel that I'd like to drink some, I drink, but I don't count. So I don't know if it's still valid, Laurie. I don't really know. I'm not positive if 8 8-ounce glasses, that's 64 ounces a day is right for you. And I can't say that it's valid for everybody anyway, because, does a 90 pound woman, drink the same amount of liquid that a 200 pound man would drink? I just don't think we can, say that, every single person on this planet needs to drink 64 ounces, or 2 liters. That's 64 ounces is roughly 2 liters of water per day. I drink when you can, what you want. Don't dehydrate yourself. Drink some. But don't worry about overdoing it. And I'll tell you something else. You know, there is the possibility of overdoing it. You know, if you drink too much water, that's called water poisoning, actually. It's the medical term or scientific term is hyponatremia. Hyponatremia means that you're drinking so much water, you're diluting the electrolytes in your body. And that's actually, it can be a very, very serious medical condition. I know a lot about hyponatremia because as a backpacker and a runner, marathon runner, I've seen many people that drink too much without taking in enough food or salts or electrolytes. And when you drink too much water, it dilutes everything. And I'll tell you something, that's a mess. It is a very, very serious condition. Now, I'm not suggesting that you're going to likely get hyponatremia by drinking, you know, a couple liters of water a day. You're not. But if you, you know, they say that, you know, too much of anything is bad. And that goes with water also. So don't think that, you know, if 2 liters are good, 4 liters are better, and even 8 liters are better than that. You're going to get to a point where if you're drinking a lot of water every single day, yeah, that can be a serious condition. So back off, drink when you're thirsty, drink before you're thirsty if you like, but just don't overdo it. Laurie, I hope that helps. Great question. Thanks so much for submitting that on Facebook. Let's see, next question I've got, let's just knock both of these out right now, then we'll get started with the main topics of the show today. From Melissa Ladder. Melissa got to me on Facebook as well. And Melissa's question is, can you give us some tips on getting back on track with better eating, especially with the holidays coming up so quickly? Melissa, great question, very timely. And I've spoken a lot about this on previous programs as well, but let's just review, because with the holidays coming up, you know, we're going to be going to parties, we're going to be having big meals with families, and it's so easy to overdo it, overindulge, put on the weight, and then by the time New Year's is over, you get on the scale and you look at yourself and you look at the scale and you say, WTF, you know, what did I do? Why did I succumb to this? So, my first tip, actually, Melissa, and anybody that's listening, not just from Melissa, but Melissa asked the question, but anybody that's listening that wants to get in on this, my first tip is don't succumb to all the pressure. And by pressure, I mean we go to the parties and they're passing out hors d'oeuvres, and sometimes they give you like a dirty look if you don't want to take something to eat. You know, just say no, thank you. I don't need anything. Don't let anybody pressure you into eating something that you don't want. If I go to a party, I do my own thing. Believe it or not, I will eat a little bit before I go to a party because I don't want to be starved when I get to a party and they're passing around all kinds of junk, both food and drink. I don't want to be tempted or I don't want to be hungry, feel like I have to eat all the junk. So typically I will eat a little bit before I go out, so I'm not starved. So when you get to the party, do your thing. Do your thing. Again, moderate alcohol, maybe no alcohol, but if you want to drink a little bit with some friends and family to celebrate the holidays, you know, drink a little bit. But I say a little bit, a little bit, because alcohol is extremely fattening. It's all calories. If you're drinking some type of mixed drink or some kind of special cocktail or even regular wine, or it's all sugar. It's all gonna turn into sugar if it's not sugar yet. But it's very, very fattening. Very. And again, like I said a little bit earlier, there's nothing healthy about alcohol. So don't fool yourself. So again, do your thing. Don't let anybody at any party make you feel guilty because you're on your own eating program. You stick to your program, 6 meals a day, small meals per day. But it's your program and nobody else's. Another tip that I've talked a little bit about before, but put your meals, especially if you go to a family holiday dinner and they've got the buffet going, it's so easy to fill a plate with just, you know, everything looks so good and delicious. And by the time you get to the end of the buffet line, wow, you like, what did you put on your plate? Man, too much. But of course you go to the table and you're going to eat it all because it's so delicious. So start out with a smaller plate. I never use a full dinner size plate. And I'll tell you something, this trick or secret or whatever you want to call it has helped me so much. over the ages of never using a full dinner size plate. Because if I go through a buffet line, I'm at a family dinner and I have a small, like a salad sized plate. Even if I fill it up, which I try not to fill it, I try not to pile things on it, but even if I fill it up, it's going to be less than half of what you could pile onto a full dinner size plate. So even if I fill it up and eat everything on my plate, I'm still eating less than half of anybody else that's in the line that's filling up a full dinner plate. And don't go back for seconds. Seconds will kill you. Thirds will even do worse. So, eat what's on your plate. Enjoy some great conversation with friends and family. And like I said, do your thing. If you don't have a vision board, now, right around the holidays, right before the holidays start, would be a great time to start a vision board. And what a vision board is, it could be as simple as one picture. Maybe something you cut out of a magazine, go into a men's health or a woman's health magazine or some type of healthy magazine, and find somebody that's about your age. You know, if you're 60 years old, don't go cutting out a picture of a 20 year old with six pack abs, because if you're 60, you're probably not. Even though we're going to try to slice our age in half on this podcast, you're probably not going to. Well, maybe you will. Maybe you look like a 20-year-old. I don't know. Maybe. Okay, so that's not fair. Maybe any age is okay, especially since we're slicing our age in half. So, find a picture of somebody in a magazine that you'd like to look like. Not necessarily face, but the body. And cut it out. Glue stick it to a nice little vision board. Could be a vision board, just a little piece of, could be, you know, you get it at an office supply store, very, very easy to do. A black background works really well. Then you cut something out of a magazine. It's real easy to see. Put it in a place where you walk by every day, and every day make it a point to look at your vision board, and you say, I'm going to look like this person. This is going to be me. This is going to be me in several months or a month or 6 months, whenever it is. But I'm going to look like this. And when you look at your vision board, look at that picture on the vision board that you're striving to be. When you go to that holiday party, you're not going to be tempted to, you know, eat all that junk that they're passing around. It really, really works. So, Melissa, hopefully those few tips helped you, and hopefully it helps all my listeners. We're going to all be healthy around the holiday time. Look, I'm in the same boat as everybody else. I mean, I love the holidays. I love getting together with friends and family and you know, seeing people at parties. I like all that, but I don't love when all the junk is passed around and you feel pressured. I don't feel pressured, but a lot of us do feel pressured into just eating and drinking and overeating and overdrinking. Let's not do it this holiday season. Let's shake on that. I'm putting out my hand. We're all putting our hands together here. Let's shake on that. We're not going to do it. Okay? We're going to be good this holiday season and all future holiday seasons. This is the year. This is the holiday season that we're getting healthier. And remember, when does it start? It starts right now. Not after New Year's. Don't say, oh, once New Year's is over, I'm gonna have a resolution. I'm going to be healthier. No, it starts now. Not 5 minutes from now. Right this second. Don't put it off any longer. Many of my listeners have already started because I told you on previous programs that we're not going to put this off. We're going to start as soon as you're listening to this. You're going to decide to start now. So again, I don't want to hear any of you say, once the holidays are over, I'm going to be a lot healthier. No. We're starting now. We're starting before the holidays. Okay, deal? Shake on it? Okay, good. I trust you. I trust you're going to do it. I do. Okay. Now, we have one of my big things now is to invite somebody to the studio every time I do a program, and they come in for what I call a scream. And a scream is somebody comes in and tells a little bit about their story, maybe a goal they met, something that they did really cool in their life or their lives, and they're ready to tell the world through my podcast, through this program, Slice Your Age in Half. And at the end of their little segment, they let out a scream And that's what really tells the world. So if you're interested in coming into the studio with me right here and doing a little scream, telling the world what you got, what you did, I invite you to do it. Again, the best way to reach me is on Facebook, David Maddow. David Maddow on Facebook, DavidMaddow, or my email, runDrDave@gmail.com. RunDrDave is RUNDRDAVE@gmail.com, or tweet me, David Maddow. Just find me. Find me one way or another, but I'd love to have you come in and do a scream. So I have Mike with us in the studio today. Mike, how's it going?
Dave, it's going great.
Fantastic. Let me ask you, what brings you in today?
I'm here to do my very special scream, Dave.
Your very special scream. What's that going to be about?
Well, it's about a goal that I set for myself many years ago. I've been tracking. I'm a runner. I've been running for more than 30 years, and I've been tracking my mileage. And about 10 years ago, I decided, well, I've gone this far. I wonder if I could go the distance that would be equivalent to running around the globe. So my goal is to run 24,901 miles before I die. And you know what? I'm about 90% there. I've run more than 22,600
miles. 22,600
miles
you've run. And the circumference of the Earth at its I guess it's at its largest, at its widest, or whatever you
want to
call it.
That's the widest circumference. Absolutely.
So you've only got about 2,000 more miles to go.
2,000.
And how long have you, Mike, how old are you?
I'm 62.
How long have you been running?
I've been running probably since I've been 28 years old, so more than 30 years.
Wow. Wow. So cool. How do you feel?
I feel great. In fact, by setting a goal like this, it's given me something to shoot for to try to stay healthy because I really want to make this goal.
So you've kind of been like a lifelong runner.
Absolutely. Lifelong runner.
What has it done to your life? What has it added to your life, would you say?
Well, what it's added, it's allowed me to feel better, and I think I'm able to take more stress, and it helps me in every aspect of my life by being physically fit.
How many times a week do you run these days?
Right now, I'm running around 3 days a week. I've tapered down, but I consistently keep running at least 10 to 15 miles a week, which is the key. I think the key is doing it consistently, not just sporadically.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, no question about that. And are you a competitive runner, a fast runner, a slow runner? Where do you fit in there?
Well, I've slowed down a lot. I've run a few marathons when I was younger, but I can still knock out a mile in 7:30.
7:30 in 1 mile. Wow, that's Mike. That's a lot faster. You know, I don't know how much you read of my stuff and listen to this program, but I'm a slow runner and proud of it. Proud of it. And let me tell you something. I could probably run a 7:30 mile. I don't know if I even could these days. But I like running slow because I don't burn out and I don't get injured. And that's how I've been able to run for 30 plus years.
I think
years.
That's smart. And don't get me wrong. I don't go out for fun and run 7:30 miles. That's if someone held a gun to me and said, run as fast as you can for a mile. How fast could you go? That would be a 7:30 mile.
Yeah,
but I'm absolutely happy running 8:30s to 9s as a matter of routine.
You look like a runner. I mean, you're lean. You've got that runner's build, which... you know, not everybody. I certainly don't have the true runner's build, but I still have been running for 30 years. What do you say to somebody that's listening that really, you know, doesn't look like you, and but they want to get out and maybe get started, and they feel that running is going to be good for their lives, but they just don't really feel like a runner. What do you say to them?
Well, here's what I say to that. I say that no matter how fast you are or how slow you are, there's always going to be lots of people faster, lots of people slower. Get out and do your own thing. Keep track of your own time so that you could see improvements and celebrate on the improvements that you're making yourself, and don't compare yourself to other people.
Yeah, I think that's really, really good advice. Now, is time even important? Let's say somebody is a true beginner. They need to maybe shed a few pounds, so they're overweight, and they want to get out and do it. Should they be worried about the time that they're running a mile in or 3 miles in, or what do you think?
Well, personally, I think you should not even go out there with a watch to time yourself at the beginning. I think you need to go out and walk and then start running. Just pick a distance and just say, I'm going to run to here, and then I'm going to go back to walking, and keep doing that as long as you have to, and you're going to find that your running distances is going to get bigger, and you're going to get more fit as time goes on.
So you've run 22,600 miles over many years, obviously. How does that affect your eating? Do you get hungry a lot running all those miles? I mean, obviously you didn't run all those miles in a day, but do you when you're as a runner, do you feel like you have carte blanche to eat whatever you want?
I think that varies from runner to runner. Personally, I think I'm blessed with a very high metabolism, and I'm able to eat almost anything without gaining weight. One thing I noticed when I first started running on a consistent basis that I lost about 5 or 6 pounds that even to this day, decades later, I've never put back on. So I think running is a great way to boost your metabolism and to change your metabolism. But not only is it a matter of how much you eat, but I think it's important along with the running that you have a healthy diet. As you know, you're a great example of that, in that you eat healthy as well.
And you know why I like running, Mike, also? It's because, or walking. Running and walking, I've said on this program, are two of the best exercises you could possibly do. You don't need an expensive gym membership. You don't need fancy equipment. You put pretty much, put a pair of shorts on and a pair of running shoes on and walk out the door and you're doing it. It's just, you know, there are not many excuses. You don't have to get in the car and drive to the gym. You don't have to schedule an appointment with a personal trainer. You get out and do it. And like you said, I think, you know, you're doing it 3 days a week or so now. You check it off that you did it. You just, you know, and you're done.
It's great. It's one of the most inexpensive sports to get involved with. You can do it anywhere. There's a social aspect. I know people that walk and run with their friends and have conversations during the process. Plus, it's a great way when you go on vacation. You can do it anywhere. And even when you go out of town or out of the country, it's a great way to sightsee. You can walk or run and just cover the area.
That's actually a really good point. As a matter of fact, my wife and I these days are, you know, we're doing maybe 2 or 3 marathons a year. We love traveling to different cities for marathons because it's actually a really cool way to see another city. Now, I'm not suggesting that all of my listeners just start doing marathons. Like I've said, you don't have to do a marathon to be a runner or a walker. You don't have to do the extreme distance. You can get out there and do. I've always said, I've figured over the years my magic number is 4. At 4 miles, if you could do 4 miles, even just walking 4 miles every day, you see. Incredible changes in the way you look, the way you feel, your metabolism. It's just, I think that's the magic number. There's no need to do marathons, but there's definitely a social aspect. I really like that. What about into the future? You're 62 now. Where do you plan to go with this? I mean, it sounds like you plan to cover the mile just going to get you around the world, the 24,901. How long do you think you're going to be a runner?
I'm hoping that I'll be a runner forever. You know, I work out as you do, and I watch what I eat, and I'm going to keep going. I'm not looking at how old I am and how long I'm supposed to be able to run. I'm going to keep doing it, I hope, forever.
I love it. I love it. Well, you ready for your scream?
I'm ready for my scream.
Okay, so we got Mike, age 62. Let's hear what you got, Mike.
I'm Mike. I've run 90% of the globe, and I am going to run around the entire Earth within the next 4 years.
Gotta love this stuff. Fun. Mike, thanks so much for coming into the studio again. Thanks again. And again, if any of you want to come to the studio, or if you're too far away, if you just can't make it to the Maryland area, the Reisterstown, Maryland area, outside of Baltimore, if you can't make it to the area, let's arrange to do a scream over the phone. Sometimes the ones over the phone work very well. And I just want to hear your story. And I'd like you to, if you've got a great story, I'd like you to tell your story to the world via the Slice Your Age in Half podcast. Let's switch gears a little bit now, because I promise you at the beginning of the show today, I wanted to tell you help you with some more ways to look and feel younger, get rid of some of the stress from your body. It ages us too fast. The more stress we have, the faster we age, the sicker we get, the worse we look, our skin starts looking horrible, we look older. So we want to get as much stress out of our system as possible. And, you know, a lot of times on this program, we very oftentimes talk about exercise and eating and diet and, you know, losing weight and things like that. But there are other ways that our body gets stressed out. And I've talked a little bit about this on the show, but I want to just go back to money and financial situations just a little bit, because money is a tremendous stressor. And if we're not handling our money right, it puts a lot of stress on our system, on our body. It's something that we wake up in the middle of the night, oftentimes worrying about money, worrying about how we're going to pay bills, worrying about being in debt. Money and finances have got to be in place. You've got to have a plan, or I'm telling you, you can do the best eating and you can be the best eater in the world. You can be running marathons. You could be doing everything right, from like physically exercising, eating right. But if you're not handling your money right, if you've got debt, if you're worrying about how you're going to be paying your bills, I'm telling you something, it is likely to stress you out. You can't imagine how much it's going to stress you out. So let's talk a little bit about how we can alleviate the stress from money. I am a very, very firm believer in living below your lifestyle, but living below your means. It does not matter how much money you make. I mean, there are so many people listening to this program, and when I talk in dollars, I'll talk in terms of U.S. dollars, because many of my listeners are living right here in the United States and in North America. So let's speak in terms of U.S. dollars. But, you know, you can kind of mentally translate in that into your own currency if you're somewhere else in the world. But I don't care if you're making $20,000 a year or $2 million a year. You've got to live below your means. Now, I'll tell you something. A lot of people think that, oh, if I were only making $1 million a year, I'd have no more money problems. Everything would be fine. Well, let me tell you something. That is absolutely not true. I have a lot of friends that make a lot of money. And I'll tell you something. You would not believe how many of them are, number one, not happy, but very, very stressed out with money, because you know something? They feel like they're very wealthy and they've got to live that quote-unquote wealthy lifestyle, and they start spending money. They've got fancy cars, tremendous houses, toys that they don't need, send all the kids to private school, private college, country club memberships. The list goes on and on and on. And let me tell you something. This stuff adds up so quickly. So somebody that's making a lot of money, $200,000 a year, $500,000 a year or more, $1 million a year, they could be spending it all and more. So just because somebody's making a huge amount of money does not mean they're saving, does not mean they have no debt, does not mean they're living a stress-free life or a happy life. And on the other hand, I know people that are making $30,000-$35,000 a year that are some of the happiest people I've met in my life, I should say. So no matter where you are on that spectrum, I beg you to live below your means. That all that means is spend less money than you're making. Now, again, if you're making $25,000 or $30,000 a year, it can be done. I'm not saying it's easy, but it can be done. You know, you'll be eating a lot of rice and a lot of beans. But you know something? There's nothing wrong with that. And let's talk a little bit about not only living below your means, but being debt free. Because again, it doesn't matter how much money you're making. If you're on the low end of the spectrum or the very high end of the spectrum, I think debt, owing somebody money, whether it's somebody you borrowed money from, a bank, a mortgage company, a car loan, I think having debt is very stressful. And I made up my mind a while ago that I was going to be debt-free. Now, I will tell you, I've never been one to run up any credit card debt. I've been very, very good. I've been fairly financially savvy most of my life. But we most of us have debt in the way of at the very least a mortgage on a home. We owe, the bank money on our home. But a lot of you out there, and I know a lot of you that are listening, and some of you that I don't know, I will guarantee you've got student loan debt, you've got credit card debt, you've got maybe a home equity line of credit took out a line of credit on your home. You've got mortgage debt. You've got all kinds of debt. And I'll tell you something, I don't think it's good. A lot of financial planners will say, you know, there's good debt and there's bad debt, and having a huge mortgage is a good thing. I'm not so sure it's good. And a lot of us learned that lesson from 2008, 2009, the recession, that, a lot of people bought these homes, stretched themselves really, really thin and bought expensive homes. And when this crazy financial crisis / recession hit in 2008, 2009, home values went way down. People lost jobs. People could not pay their mortgages, and people lost homes. And it was a really, really tough situation. Still, some people have not really even gotten themselves out of it. It's very, very serious and very sad. And believe me, I my heart goes out to anybody that lost a job or couldn't make payments on their home and lost a home. It's horrible. It's really horrible. But if we back up a little bit, and let me ask you something. If you were able to have a lifestyle where you were debt-free, where you didn't owe anybody any money, including you didn't owe anybody any money on your home, you paid off your house. And don't think right now how difficult it might be. Just listen to me for a second. I'm not saying it's simple to pay off a house. I'm not saying it's easy, but just bear with me a second and listen. If you didn't owe anybody any money, and we had another financial crisis, another bad recession, and you know something? The economy goes up and down and up and down. And yeah, they're sure there will be tough times again. Right now, you know, we're doing much better. The stock market's way up. We're at record highs. But you know something? It's going to go down again, and people are going to lose jobs again. It's going to be tough again. How would you feel if you had no debt, if you had no bills? The only bills you had, the only things you had to pay for were things you had to, pay for during your regular, from your regular cash flow, like food and electricity, you know, power, things like that. But you didn't owe money on a home. You didn't owe money on a car. You're living below your means. Let me tell you something. You would feel really, really good if you were debt-free. I am debt-free now. I made it a point a while ago to pay off every single thing. I owe nobody anything. And so I've been on both sides. I've been on the side where, yeah, I had a huge mortgage. There was one point where I had two homes. I had a vacation home down in Florida. I have my home here in Reisterstown, Maryland that I own. And I had two mortgages. And I made it a point a while ago to say, you know something? This is crazy. I just don't like being a slave to the bank. I don't like them calling all the shots. I don't like the fact that they tell me exactly what kind of insurance I've got to have. I've got to have this, and I've got to have an escrow account. You know, they call all the shots, but now that I'm debt-free, now that I don't owe them a dime, they can't tell me what to do with my house. I own this. I sold my Florida home. I didn't need two homes. It was ridiculous. So I'm living below my means, and I paid off everything that I've got. And when I put my head on my pillow every evening, I can go to sleep at night knowing that if, God forbid, some type of financial crisis hits, I'm not going to lose my home. I'm here. This is mine. I own it. There's no bank that's going to take this away from me. Now, we'll back up for a second because if you have a mortgage, especially a large mortgage, I don't expect you to pay that off tomorrow. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy, but if we take little tiny steps, little bit at a time, they say, how does somebody eat an elephant? Well, one bite at a time. So I'll give you like a little lesson on how to begin to become debt-free. Start writing down all of your debt. You might have some small credit card debt. You might have some student loans. You might have some car loans. You might have a mortgage. Write everything down and write down how much you owe on each one and write down the interest rate. And what I recommend, and again, I'll tell you, I'm not a financial planner. I don't pretend to be a financial planner, but I'm savvy enough and I've been around long enough that I know a pretty good amount. I would take your smallest debt first. Let's say you've got a credit card and you owe $2,500 on it. And that's the smallest debt you have. I would do everything you can to start spending less money, live below your means. And as you accumulate some money that's left over every month, you start to pay that down. And whether it takes you 2, 3 months or 12 months, you pay it down. And then you attack your next debt and your next one and your next one. And again, just take small steps. And eventually, take my word for it, you'll have everything paid off. And you can do it. I'm telling you, you can do it. And I've seen people that are making, like I said, I've seen people that are making $25,000 a year become debt-free. I've seen people that are making $1 million a year become debt-free. And sometimes it's more difficult for the people making $1 million a year because some of the debt they have is just so astronomically high and ridiculous. So try that. I'm telling you, it's going to take a lot of stress off of your system. You're going to be healthier, and you're going to start to look a lot younger because people are going to say, hey, you look great. What'd you do? Are you exercising more? You're eating better? No. Actually, I paid off all my debt, and I've got to tell you something. It's the best thing I ever did in my life. This is what you'll be saying to somebody, and I feel great. I feel like I took a load off my shoulder. I just feel so much healthier now. And I will talk a little bit now, because I told you at the beginning of the program, talk a little bit about marriage, relationships, friendships, any type of relationships we may have. If you have any that are toxic, that are bad, I don't care if it's a relative, a spouse, a quote-unquote friend, a business associate, if you've got a toxic relationship, either fix it or get out of it. Don't go through your life with a toxic relationship, because I'm telling you something, again, it is going to stress the heck out of you. And it's not going to do you any good. It's going to get you sick. Get out of it now. Well, I say if you can't fix it, get out of it now, I should say. The best thing to do is to fix it. If you've got a spouse that you're married to, I'm not a proponent of divorce. Divorce is not a good thing. It's a difficult thing. It can be hell. But so the best thing to do is try to fix it. Try to fix it first. Do everything you can to fix it. But if for some reason you can't, if you just can't do it, there's nobody that says you've got to stay with somebody that's toxic for the rest of your life. I don't believe that. So evaluate your life. Try to fix some of these bad relationships you may be in. And I'm telling you something, again, if you do that and fix up your financial your financial relationships, your relationships with banks, with credit cards, with mortgage companies, I got to tell you something, it's going to change your life. I will absolutely guarantee it. If you have any questions about any of this, feel free to just send me an email. Don't put it on Facebook if it's private. Send me an email to rundrdave@gmail.com. It's rundrdave@gmail.com. I'll try to help you out as best as I can. Again, I'm not a financial planner. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a marriage counselor. I'm not a shrink. But again, I've been through so many experiences in my life, whether they were business, marriage, things going on with family members. I've been through so many of them. I kind of get it now. And I know I can probably steer you in the right direction if you're just puzzled and just, you know, you're just kind of you feel like you're at a dead end and you're not really sure what to do. I think I can help you out. Wow. Anyway, that was a lot today. We ran a little bit longer than we like to. I'd usually like to keep this between, these days I like to keep this at 35 minutes. It seems to be kind of the sweet spot, between 30 and 40 minutes or so. So we're a little bit over. But again, I think I hope at least I gave you some great information, some great food for thought for today, no pun intended. Because again, I want you to be better. I want you to have a better life. I want you to be stronger. I want you to be thinner and happier. And that's what Slice Your Age in Half is all about. So this episode of Slice Your Age in Half, episode number 8, is now in the record books. I thank you. I thank every single one of you for listening, for being with me, for being part of this. We're taking it around the world. I've got listeners from all over the planet, all across this planet, and I thank you so much for being with me. And until next time, have a great week. I will see you next Thursday for episode number 9.